Okay, let's get started. Hi. Good afternoon. This is the Guam EPA Board of Directors meeting. Today's date is Thursday, April 18, 2024. The approximate time is 4 o'clock p.m. and this meeting is being recorded. We'll go around the room. Stephen Carbolito.
Stephen Carrara.
Fran Castro.
Steve Hollister.
Attending virtually, Director Taitingfong.
Present.
Can you turn on your camera, please? Sorry. Thank you.
Hello.
Cool. Okay, hearing that we have a quorum and the publication went out, let's get this meeting started. First item, approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Next one, approval of the February 15 meeting minutes. Let us know if you need more time, but let me know also if there's a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt the meeting minutes for February 15th.
Thank you. Is any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. Turn it over to... Fran said she had to get going, so let's jump to number 6 first. Continuation of GSWA cost proposal for FY24 recycling program. So at the end of the last meeting, I think there were like 3 main questions that came out from the law that the attendees had questions about. And those got answered. Basically, Michelle, you've reviewed the plan and it's approved by you, right? And so after the board approves it, everything will be cleared. And then the second question was,
quarterly.
Quarterly. Yeah. And basically, what was the answer?
So the answer was that the appropriation is made annually, not to exceed $400,000, but the billing is not necessarily just on an annual basis. So it seems by the legal interpretation that I got that they could bill quarterly and we would pay it so long as it doesn't exceed that $400,000 per year.
Thank you. And then the last one was if it was like their full cost, and I believe you said it was their cost.
It exceeded from what Herb Slight, the general manager for GSWA, presented the last meeting in February. Was that it exceeded the $400,000. So we wanted to see the actual price so that, you know, we can, you know, that it's a true reflection of what their recycling cost is. However, the law caps our reimbursement to them at $400,000. But it's always good to see what the actual cost is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see that. He'll report that to us annually.
I think that we also asked for clarification because remember he presented a work plan for the $571,000, but it seems like they already addressed that by adding this one line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's all.
Cool.
And it also seems like they billed us for the first quarter. I'd like to make a motion to adopt this work plan. I don't know if we're supposed to adopt the work plan.
Yeah, I think we're...
And then also to approve the payment for the first quarter of fiscal year 2024.
That's the 98,000.
Oh, yeah, this one.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll second the motion to pay for the first quarter and the work plan. We have to.
I think, but so when we presented it last time, we just presented a total of 571,000. But we just wanted him to clarify that it's only up to 400,000 that is authorized. So he included this last line here. Pursuant to PO 36115, only 400,000 is authorized.
Yeah, I think, at least in terms for us, we're just approving, releasing the funds. Yeah, the 98.
Okay.
And then this, we need to look at this to okay it? Is that what we need to?
Michelle, you know.
The work plan. I don't know if the law specifically says that you have to
just the invoice.
Yeah, just the invoice.
No.
Okay, so really all we're doing then is going to pay the...
Yes.
Well,
his
first sentence here says, pursuant
to
this
we
law,
the last meeting.
DSWR is hereby submitting a cost proposal for your reviewing.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like we have to approve it.
Yeah, I don't have the law in front of me, but yeah, basically it's the 400,000, and then they're trying to bill it quarterly.
Last.
Yeah, is anyone can state it here or pull it up on the computer?
I'm looking for
you. State devices.
I think.
So in the minutes it says the administrator is authorized to annually reimburse Guam Solid Waste Authority, a government entity, up to $400,000 in accordance with the Guam Zero Waste Master Plan for expenses that include, but not limited to, curbside recycling, household hazardous waste, electronic and white goods collection, processing and marketing, shipping. GSWA shall submit a proposal including total cost to the administrator and board for approval. You have to approve the plan.
Yeah, so that was my question. Do they submit their total cost proposal? Or is it a partial cost proposal?
It's a total with the caveat that it is not to exceed the $400,000 authorized for reimbursement by that law.
So we're just going to approve what he wants, what they want to do here, and then pay him here.
Yeah. So I think that first invoice is that $98,897.06 from what was requested in February.
He's pulling it up.
Oh.
So am I. I'm trying. So it says here.
Here I know.
10 GCA 51, right there. It's right there. Do you want to turn it around?
Yep, so they're supposed to submit a proposal to the administrator and board for approval. So they submitted a proposal, and we're voting on that.
So the yearly budget's 571,463.
Yeah, that's how much they plan.
Of which we pay 400,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
You made a motion for both?
Yes.
I'll second both then.
Okay.
Thank you. Any discussion? None. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Director Tattingfall?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes. Okay. Turn it over to you, Michelle, for administrative report.
All right. Thank you, Chairman, Directors. So administratively, we selected two supervisors for the Pesticides Enforcement Program and the Hazardous Waste Management Program. So Pesticides will now be led by Mevany Hasita, and Michael Mellon will lead Hazardous Waste Management Program. We also interviewed and hired a new inspector, and her name is Melanie Mendiola. She starts a week and a half from now on April 29th. Also an update on, it's Captain, she's recently been promoted. So Captain Elizabeth DeGrange is a U.S. Public Health Officer, and she is on target to report to Guamikia on May 1st, and she will serve as the agency lab director. So she will be the new EMAS administrator until we hire that position permanently. So her, she's still in the process of relocating. So we've already made the direct payment to US EPA, and hopefully she will be able to move and arrive on Guam before her May 1st report date. But otherwise, we have signed a telework agreement with Captain DeGrange if she's not able to make it to Guam on time. Also, we submitted a recruitment request to DOA under the ECDC grant. So we are hoping to fill 10 vacancies. So that's 5 environmental health specialist ones, 2 biologists, 2 environmental technicians, 1 chemist one, and then and 1 chemist three position that we hope to announce departmental wide. Also, sadly, we have received 1 letter of resignation this week, which is our clerk 3 assigned to the permitting section. We have 3 employees in that section. 1 is currently on military leave, so that means we only have 1 employee for permitting. We have requested that the desk at the BLPC be closed temporarily, and we'll put up a notice that will route all the customers to this office, the GIPA administrative offices, for processing. So that 1 person will do intake as well as processing processing permits for signature. So as of April 15th, we still have 51 full-time employees.
For Captain DeGrange, EMAS administrator, who previously had this position?
Jesse Cruz.
Okay. And what about Brian's position?
So we are currently working on recruiting for that position with an above step recruitment condition so that we can attract
okay.
a potential candidate. And even at that step 10, it may still be it is lower than certainly what the federal government pays, and even private sector for that level of expertise.
Okay, so that requisition or whatnot, it'll be added to this
to
4th bullet?
Yes.
Okay.
So I'll report on that when we've already submitted the recruitment package to DOA.
Okay, thank you.
So all FEMA reimbursement documentation has been completed, so we're just waiting on FEMA's review and reimbursement for those FEMA categories. Also, update on the arrears with the Guam Ancestral Lands Commission for the lease of the operations building next door. So we met with the GALC board on March 13th, and we acknowledged the months of arrears that we owe. But the amount that GALC claims that we owe, the difference is $100,000. So their invoicing is $100,000 more than what we've reconciled with our records. So we've provided that supporting documentation of the payments that we've made to GALC. So they're going to review that. And I guess it's an issue with not being able to access the old AS400, which shows our direct payments to GALC. And the way that it works, it's, you know, the payments are made for invoices on that date. But what they were doing is they were using payments that were current to fill invoices that were, you know, from when we started to accrue the arrears. So again, we've given them the supporting documents. And again, $100,000 is not chunk change, right? So we want to make sure that when we make that payment, and we are committed to making the payment of arrears, but we want to make sure that we're paying them. And we are continuing to make current payment on the building monthly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not behind in current payment, but we will address the arrears. Update on the new headquarters. So US EPA on-scene coordinators out of their CERCLA program under CERCLA. We're on island, and they were performing cleanup work on our property, and they removed four of the biggest waste piles, or most contaminated waste piles on that site. And they reported that 8,000 tons of contaminated soil and debris has been shipped off, and about 1,500 tons of solid waste has been brought to Luzon. There are still tires and mixed debris that are still on site that we will have to deal with. And I'm working with DPW and GSWA on removing the tires. Also, efforts are still underway with DPW to move forward with this, with soliciting the architectural and engineering services for the new building. So they have our scope of work for that.
So what happened with the contaminated soil?
So, you know, from previous land use.
Right, but it got shipped off island?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so they had originally committed $5 million, which has been reported in the past. And because of, like, COVID, MOWR, and all the delays, they finally came back to actually start cleanup on the site. And what was estimated with that initial $5 million has now ballooned to $12 million. So they had a budget of $6 million. They've spent that. So the OSC is going to go back and, you know, propose the additional work plan and hopefully get the additional $6 million to complete the cleanup. So it looks like a $12 million cleanup project at our site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But he will not leave it unfinished. So that's mm-hmm. the commitment from the city. That they will not leave it unfinished. So permitting. So between February 13th and March 15th, we processed, or 67 permit applications were submitted, 10 were placed on hold, and then 51 were signed in. And then from March 18th to April 17th, we received 77 permits. 11 are on hold, and 17 were signed.
What happened in March to April?
In terms of processing?
Yeah, just curious. Basically, like, the pace went down.
We did have some of our staff on leave. And Brian left.
Yeah.
Brian left, the week prior to this February 13th.
February was good. February 13th to March 15th was good, but it's the March to April that slowed down.
Johnny right. took 30 days leave also
right.
from medical, so that really hampered it. There's only two people that are actually, I think, doing the main permitting reviews.
Yeah.
Is Johnny and Noni. Noni is actually a PE. I don't think Johnny's PE, but they're the only ones doing work at that level.
Yeah.
So that's probably what it was, right? Johnny went on personal
leave.
Yeah, Johnny
leave. Went on personal leave. I didn't want to say that.
I didn't want to speak for them, but that's what they explained to us.
Is there anyone else, like when someone goes on leave, can they like just designate someone, like it shouldn't stop.
Right, but there are other, but you have to remember, there's only two engineers in permitting. We still have water resources, we still have safe drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
So they're spread out, there's different engineers spread out, but there's still work to be done in the other programs. So if we pull one from that, then the other side will then be suffering. Yeah, so we're trying, like Michelle said, we're trying to build capacity, but it's just hard to get engineers to come here.
So, yeah. So, I mean, in terms of these open requisitions, do we need to open one for this part of the agency?
So there is the plan to hire engineers, to include the chief engineer, right? But again, it's getting that. So there's a process where you have to request for above step recruitment, even though there's a range between step 1 and step 20. There's a process that we have to go through to request for an approval of the above step recruitment when we announce it.
Okay.
So,
where are we at?
And again, that's not, it's still not a competitive salary range, even at step 10. So,
okay.
I mean, I think we'll still have difficulty. Hopefully, we'll entice
summer
engineers.
Or could you just contract in the meantime so that we can address the matter?
We have discussed that, but again, because we're regulatory, if we contracted engineering services, like they couldn't work on other projects that would conflict with if they were to design. Or,
so when do you plan to announce?
I can't say. This year, this fiscal, I mean, I can probably say maybe this fiscal year.
But, so we need to get, or the plan is to get above step recruitment, so what's the next step?
Then announcing it. And then, going through.
So drafting an announcement?
Yeah, which we can do. We just have to submit the
recruitment. Yeah, wait, what comes
to the steps? Connie? Are you able to talk about?
I'm here.
Okay.
They want to know the steps.
Can you talk about recruitment? Recruitment steps.
So the steps is the department processes the GG1, what they call it, is a recruitment. It goes through BBMR, DOA, and then they sort out the paperwork through classifications. They send out the announcements. Announcements get advertised for a period of 2 weeks. Applicants apply within 2 weeks. DOA then evaluates the applications of the applicants that come in. If we get a sufficient listing of 5, then they let the agency know that they have a certification packet. If there is an insufficient listing, which is less than 5, they notify the agency, and then the agency will either get requests for the insufficient list or put requests that the announcement be placed on a continuous list with DOA until there's a sufficient list out there.
Okay, so
give it 30 days.
So in that process, where are we at? The first step, it sounds like GG1. Are we past that step?
So all of our recruitments that Michelle has mentioned are all at DOA.
What about for engineering positions or people at permitting?
Those we are working on those right now. I'm currently on leave, so as soon as I get back next week, I will be working with Michelle and Nick in getting those PDQs, position descriptions, out there for those positions, especially for the chief engineers they're mentioning for an above step recruitment.
Okay, so maybe by next meeting we'll have the position descriptions done?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah, thanks.
So we did attend a legislative informational hearing requested by Senator Perez, and she wanted to discuss she wanted updates on several topics. So we provided her the updates on our DLDRN regulations or interim action plan. We also updated her on US EPA's proposed PFAS MCLs and open burn, open debt rules. the zero waste initiatives, the fund balance, and the regulations. We updated her on the plastic bag ban, and we also gave her a status of the waste and used oil removal disposal on home. So that was myself, Roland, and CIDWIS Administrator Julie Mendoza out of Water Division.
What's the update on the plastic ban?
The plastic ban is currently in effect. There are 11 exemptions that they can avail themselves of, the different ones. The staff is actively going out on Tuesdays and Thursdays to do plastic bag enforcement. And the week of May 2nd, we're going to have a larger team go out to go out and do enforcement. So if it is in effect, we did visit a number of establishments. I don't have the figure, but I gave it to the senator. But we're actively doing that.
I think over 300 retail.
And as you know, we have the same staff to do solid waste investigations, complaints, citations, as we do to have the plastic bag enforcement. No further funds were given to us to have any additional staff enforce the plastic bag ban. So it's the same four people that we have doing all of the enforcement for solid waste that is also doing the plastic bag ban enforcement.
So basically, she just wanted an update of what's...
Yeah, how many we're doing, are we actively doing it, did we have any enforcement cases?
Okay.
We did receive two complaints of enforcement cases. We investigated it, and they were complaints that were not invalid, but there are exemptions. And then one of the complaints was that there was a person was selling bags to people, and the bags were being used at retail stores. And so the retail store, we spoke the wholesale, we spoke with them, and we, you know, they know the law. They even posted the law right in front of the cashier, you know, to tell the people, if you're buying this as a retail store, you know, here is the law, and here's the 11 exemptions. But we can't cite them because they sold the bag. The law is not you can't sell the bags, it's the law is you can't use the bags.
At point of sale. So in this case, it was like a wholesaler, right? I won't name names. The wholesaler can sell wholesale and retail. So, like, you know, you could buy 500, 1,000 of these plastic bags. But again, like Roland said, they post at the point of sale that if you're using these bags as in your retail operation,
and you're not meeting one of the 11 exemptions,
yeah, and you're not exempted, then basically
you're in violation
of the law. But it's not a violation for them to sell these bulk.
That sounds like we need a tweak.
Blame it on the Lord. Wow.
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so what's the status on the Deeldrin topic?
So for Deeldrin, you know, we do have the interim action plan that we presented to the board. But we are kind of at the mercy of having US EPA senior toxicologist come to Guam as part of the public hearing that we want to have him be able to answer questions if the public should have them. So he had some personal matters that he had to deal with. So we're hoping that sometime in May or June, it will be available to travel to Guam to be present at our public hearing.
That one, you have to do a, what is it, like a 45-day public notice? 30
days.
30,
35. Mm-hmm. Well, depends on the program. 30 or 45.
Yeah.
So 30 days is already May 18.
Is this notice to have a public hearing? I think notice is
10 days.
Okay. Okay.
And then after we present, then we have 30 or 45 day public comment.
Okay.
So the normal way that it works is we announce the public comment period with the whatever proposed rules or regs that we have. And then the way I do it, I already announce public hearing the day after the 30 days or 45 days. And normally we have 10 days to come back with any significant comments if they come in to answer them in both in writing. If there are no significant comments, then it's approved, basically.
So you do comments before the public hearing?
Yes, we submit, we ask for comments.
Okay.
And then we get comments at the public hearing. And if there's any significant comments, generally within 10 days, we'll answer the comments in writing. And if there are no significant comments, remember, significant comments have to be comments that address the science of the issue, not, you know, I don't want it in my water kind of things.
So should we do this before May or June, the public comment period?
Did we put out rules yet?
We haven't. We didn't put it out.
Yeah, okay.
No, we haven't put it out. We have the draft.
Because if he's not coming till May or June, then we're not going to start till May or June. But it sounds like for other programs or topics, we can start before the public hearing.
Okay, I'll discuss it with the program. And if the consensus is that we distribute the draft before the senior toxicologist can kind of come out for the public hearing, then we'll issue it out and at least get a jump start on that public comment period.
Okay.
The public comment periods are minimum, so you must have it can be longer than that.
Yeah,
right.
Extended.
Yeah, but hopefully by when we have the toxicologist address the public, we can move quickly after that,
yeah.
If that's what we're kind of waiting on the critical path.
Right.
Okay, let us know.
Okay.
And what was the update for PFAS?
So they have released the proposed MCL, and so we are, as you know, as part of the EC-DAC, they haven't developed a method for testing PFAS, so we have held off on purchasing the PFAS equipment as part of our own capacity building to start PFAS testing. But even with the proposed PFAS MCLs, implementation for enforcement will be about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they've given the MCLs for it, but we have 2 years to implement,
mm-hmm.
to include where we will purchase lab equipment, do the sampling and monitoring. Meanwhile, GWA will continue to test under their parameters, and they will bill us, so we will have those test results from them.
Okay. OBOD, at least OD?
Yes, so OD, we actually have US EPA's OD permitting team come in next week from the 24th to the 26th, and they will be meeting, of course, with our hazardous waste management program, going over the draft permit, but also they will be doing site visits at Anderson and Naval Base Guam. And they also are, we are coordinating on Naval Magazine, and we're also coordinating with two NGOs that have concerns about cultural and environmental impacts from the OD operation. I reached out to them to ask whether or not they would like to meet with the US EPA OD team, and I have yet to get a response. But they're proposing Friday the 26th after 1, if they're interested.
Okay.
Can I just add to the hazardous waste issue?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's part of our, this is part X. So as for our authorization, I just got notification today from US EPA that they've received two proposals from contractors to assist in updating our regulations that haven't been updated, I believe, since 1992. Yeah, so that's in the works also. So we'll find out more next month on our call to solidify which contractors can actually assist in the effort to update our regulations. For our authorization, for our primacy over hazardous waste.
And as far as I know, the draft permit will include all of the new requirements under Subpart X for open debt.
Okay.
Including anything from the new rule that's going to come out shortly.
Yeah, and the requirement to evaluate alternative methods for disposal.
Yeah, alternative technologies. So one of the main items that she didn't like in the current, one of the proposals is that if it's below 15,000 pounds of mass weight, that it would be considered de minimis. And they would not be required to do alternative technology. So from what I understand, she may pass her own local law that says to do it anyway. So that's up to the Senate. I mean, the regulations can always be more stringent, as long as it meets the intent of the safety, you know, for the handlers of the explosives.
Senator Perez also introduced Bill 269-37, so that's relative to standardizing labeling and testing of bottled water, and that was introduced just this week on April 15th. No public hearing has been set yet, but the bill would mandate that the agency conduct at least annually random inspections of bottled water products that are subject to regulations by FDA under the Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, which is under the purview of Public Health Division of Environmental Health. So that's talking about bottled water that's capped, you know, as a finished product, capped. Additionally, the agency would be mandated to conduct 4 times a year random inspections on bottled water products that, again, are not subject to FDA under the Federal Food, Drug, Cosmetic Act. And so that's an estimated 130 water vendors. If we do 1 random annually and then 4 mandated annually, that comes out to an additional 650 inspections per year for Bombay, or about 2.5 inspections per day, right? So in any calendar year, we have 260 working days. So if you divide 650 by that 260, that's 2.5 inspections a day just for bottled water products. So currently, inspections for sanitary surveys, which is the 9 public water systems on Guam, is every 3 years, and that looks at 700 contaminants. So whether or not looking at these 130 water vendors, if we consider them public water systems under Guam EPA's purview, we would be looking at those 700 contaminants through this water process. So the question, you know, begs, who's going to pay for the inspection, sampling, and testing? So in terms of, you know, do we put that cost and burden on the water vendor, which is very expensive, right? If you're looking at monitoring and testing for 700 contaminants, I can't imagine that would be cheap. So that's going to be a big financial burden if we put that on the water vendor. So, I mean, we're going to work with Senator Perez on this.
What about the PWS? Does the water vendor pay for it? That's, yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. They do.
It's kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Make sure it's a funded mandate.
Yes. Yes. So we want. Also, we want to clarify that, you know, once it's capped, right? Once a lid is capped on that bottled water product, then it goes to public health. We are going to propose that it be, you know, finished water coming through the system, but before it goes into a bottle. So we would sample at the distribution point.
You know, I always wonder about, there's a lot of non-U.S. made water bottles or bottled water, and I wonder that subject to FDA or not.
So there used to be, I know, having worked at Public Health, there used to be at a time when all bottled water imported into Guam, the importer would test about 10% of what was being imported, submit a water sample to WERI, and they would give water quality results from, you know, whether it be foreign water or U.S. water.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe they have continued that requirement, but they used to.
Because this seems to say you got to test that water as well as, you know, filtration dispenser type.
Yeah, so I think there's a, I guess in the bill there's an exemption, like if it's already bottled, right? Like if it's imported bottled, then we won't have to do that. So it's really these water vending machines and the vendors. Also, she introduced Bill 249-37, which would authorize Guam EPA and Guam Coastal Management Program to hire environmental law attorneys. And that public hearing was held March 13th. And it's been placed on session agenda for this tomorrow. So we did support this. Again, as you know, we are without legal counsel. And we've been without legal counsel since January, so this would really allow us to hire our own attorney without having to request for one through the AG's office.
What's happening to the funds that was paying for the attorney?
It's, we're not paying it at all. So we paid.
So you have savings.
But you know, we'd much rather pay for an attorney and have the legal counsel than to save that money. Let's see, ongoing projects. So we currently have the Train the Trainer workshop going on, starting today through tomorrow. So we have about 50 participants for this BTA Train the Trainer program. So you know, BTA is required for all employees who handle or use antibacterial, antimicrobial, sanitizers, fungicides, disinfectants, and pesticides as part of their duty. So most often this falls under like housekeeping, you know, housekeeping positions. So this training is being conducted by the agency in partnership with the University of Michigan and US EPA. So University of Michigan received some grant money to be able to provide this type of training. And again, we have 50 participants registered today and tomorrow.
And the trainers from the University of Arizona.
We also attended a meeting for Guam Aquaculture Innovation Center proposal. So we met with other GovGuam stakeholders to discuss grant funding for an aquaculture center. And that grant is through U.S. PDA. So we met with UOG, BSP, Land Management, Department of Agriculture. So this project is to provide opportunities for food security, economic diversification, and to also provide a sustainable fishery stock to replenish our reef supply, and for us to be able to purchase more local, local homegrown fish. So we have indicated that we would provide support in the permitting, the NEPA process, and environmental assessment once that permit is in the, once that project is in the permitting phase. And then the notice of funding opportunity for the grant is still pending.
Who's in charge of this center? DOAC?
I'm trying to remember who the proponent was. Gita was the agency that invited us to the stakeholders meeting. So I think it's still in that grant application phase. So the update on the Machinanao Elementary School lead-free compliance was held March 5th. So back in August of 2023, you know, after Typhoon Mawar, we did inspections on schools for lead-free compliance. And samples were taken at Juan M. Guerrero and Machinanao Elementary, and that revealed levels of exceedances for lead. And then we did a follow-up March 1st, and a weary analysis was performed for the faucet and valve replacement at Machinanao Elementary. So we were able to clear that one affected sink after results showed that there was no lead. But in the meantime, when there was the exceedance reported, that sink was taped off and was not in use, just FYI. So draft Tumon Bay Total Maximum Daily Load, or TMDL, was developed. So the TMDL fact sheet was provided to the board members. It was developed by a US EPA contractor for Guam EPA.
What board members?
Did we provide that last meeting?
No.
Okay, let me let me verify that. Okay, so bullet number one, I will verify that, or that has not been.
Good job.
I wasn't sure it was a different board.
It is on the website, the public notice and a copy of the TMDL.
Or can we verify whether or not that was given at a previous board meeting?
It was not.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
Yeah, it was not.
Because then this would be related to my water quality project.
Okay, let me make sure that that's at least given out, and then we'll report that it's been distributed. Let's see. So the Clean Water Act and implementing regulations require public comment on the draft TMDL report prior to US EPA approval. And therefore, the agency has established a 30-day review and public comment period. Seeking comments from the general public from March 15 to April 12.
Is this a topic that's going to be put before the board?
Yeah, so it seems like we've already done the 30-day public comment and it's ended. Let me verify that. I'm gonna table that report to make sure that or why we haven't why you haven't received it. Also, we are part of the planning committee for the 26th Micronesian Island Forum. So that's gonna be held June 3rd to the 5th at the Hyatt. So Guam EPA has always been a part of the Pacific Islands Regional Recycling Initiatives Council. So Sabrina has actually been a part of that for several years. And we will be meeting with that working group in pre-conferences, so May 30 to the 31st at GCC. So the MIF registration is currently open. So to the board, if you are interested in attending the MIF, in those 3 days, the website is given there. So that's www.guamgreengrowth.org/MIF. Also, we have been in discussion with US EPA and the other Pacific Islands environmental directors. We've put off for several years now having an in-person meeting, but we are looking at an in-person meeting tentatively scheduled for August in Honolulu.
August
what? 2024. Oh, with no date yet.
Oh.
Just August.
The DOI meeting.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was brought up. So they're hoping not to conflict with that. So. And that's all
are
I have.
Are we allowed to attend? Because I'll be in Hawaii.
Let me ask. I'll ask. And that's all I have, Chairman.
Thank you. Open up for public questions, board questions, comments.
On the faucet in the school, mm-hmm. Do we know where the faucet came from? Because I remember several years ago we put out notices of violation on for different stores selling faucets that were didn't have lead.
I believe it was a kitchen sink.
Pardon me?
A kitchen sink.
Yeah. But I mean, is there a way to track where the faucet came from? Because wouldn't that be easier to find out where the government, if they put them in more schools or whatnot, or just a general notice to people that their faucets might.
Yeah, so I know that in new construction now, or any construction mm-hmm. happening now, even including renovations, whenever there's a replacement of faucet fixtures, mm-hmm. so they have to provide proof of lead-free certification
to
Guam EPA.
Correct.
Whether it be, the box and receipt mm-hmm. of the fixtures that were installed, mm-hmm. and then we keep the box, we sign off, you know, what project it was used,
right.
so that, you know, that's the proof that we
mm-hmm.
have verified lead free certification. And if the contractors don't have the box, then our inspectors go out and actually do a physical inspection to make sure that the I don't know if it's a seal or a stamp,
right,
you know, on the fixture to verify lead free compliance.
But the but if they just repair it,
I'm you know, going off memory, but I don't know whether or not it was the fixture or the solder that was used to repair this particular faucet. So but maybe I can provide the details.
Well, I'm just wondering if it has any ties to the notice of violations we put out several years ago. There was a way to track that down to see who, or to
who
let
sold
people
it?
Know. Well, I know who, we have in the records of who was selling it because of the violation, but just to tell people that they might have a faucet that.
Actually, I spoke with Safe Drinking Water, and so they are actually going to start doing retail inspections again.
Okay.
So, you know. There's also a new law, hasn't been introduced yet, which will talk about lead-free certifications, where it would have us go back out and do water testing on all new construction, which we revised in the past to, you know, to kind of streamline and reduce the delays in issuing, like, occupancy permits for new construction and renovations, which was to provide evidence of lead-free certification products.
To pile on to the inspections that have to be done.
Yeah. So, I mean,
already.
The bill hasn't been introduced. We saw a draft. But based on this proposed lead-free certification amendment to our rule, we have agreed that they would start doing retail.
Yeah. I'm just curious how many faucets are out there from before when we sent out that notice of violation? It would be interesting, I mean, to know.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we could put out, you know, like a public service announcement if people want to look at whether or not there's that seal
that
or
might be a bad
stamp.
Idea.
But when they get their first initial permit letter before the construction begins, everything's on that letter and what is required.
But I'm talking about, I mean... You know, people repair their faucets and they don't have to. You go to the hardware store.
True.
And,
you're right.
You know.
Yeah, maybe we could put that out. So, Nick, if you're listening, let's put out a public service announcement about lead-free products.
Really, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
I just want to make a suggestion. Under policy, like when you go to update the senator, if you could just maybe give more details so that
okay.
you don't have to ask questions.
Okay. Actually, what I'll do is then I'll give you the briefing paper that we provided to senator.
Oh, yeah, next time just attach it.
Okay. I'll do that.
Anything else? So action items that happen at the next meeting is...
Notice of violations.
Oh, yeah. Any notice of the violations since the February meeting?
Any new ones?
No. That's an easy one. I like easy ones.
We have some in the works, but nothing to issue.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Nothing? Okay. Next meeting scheduled for May 16. I won't be here May 16. And I won't be able to attend virtually. You guys want to have it May 23rd or the following third Thursday in June?
May 23rd is fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll schedule it for May 23rd.
May 23rd.
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Adjourn this meeting.
And I will second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Mr. Yab.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.